Glory Land is not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. Wretched lives are oh so sad to see, those who live in misery. But in heaven no more grief or pain, crippled lives are whole again.
Well, the Bible says that there's coming a day that the trump of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. What a blessing there's coming a day when Jesus is coming. Amen. You ready for that day? And I'm ready for that day. I hope you are. And, of course, we still have a gospel message to get out because everybody's not saved. And so that's what we want to do, is to try to reach as many as we can before Jesus comes. I want to welcome everybody to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. So good to see you. I hope everybody has had a good week this week. I'm sure the devil has left everybody alone this week. No trouble from him. And just been peachy cream. And no, you know better than that. The enemy is always on the look. But we come to get charged up today, to get energized, to go back out into this world, share the gospel, live for Jesus, and receive what he has for us. So very good to be here this morning. Got a few things we want to mention before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Got a lot of things going on this month and, of course, all summer long. But good to have Brother Allen back. Where's he at? There he is. Hey. Abracadabra, you know. But good to have him back. He was away last weekend. We filled in. And so good to have him back, though. What a blessing. And hope everybody enjoyed our youth rally Wednesday night. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Amen. Had the two pops at the end. And I didn't know if I was having a heart attack or getting ready to celebrate Jesus. But anyway, we're still picking up confetti this morning. But what a blessing that was, having them with us. Tillman's Corner, First Baptist Church, Mobile, Alabama. What a blessing it was to see all those teenagers in the choir. And good to see Miss Shirley and Brother James with us this morning. It's been a long time. Amen. We've been missing you guys. I know you've been sick, taking turns being sick. And but it's so good to have you guys back with us this morning. You have been missed. And let's continue to remember Miss Cece in our prayers. She had dental surgery, facial inside. Bone graft. Sounds painful, and I'm sure that it was moments you had when it was painful, and it still may be a little painful, but you're here this morning. What a blessing. And I don't know. I think last time they did that, they had to wire your mouth shut, and so no wiring today. And praise the Lord for that. And so, Chucky. Oh, Chucky. He may be wired shut. I got fishing poles and fishing line. No touch. But anyway, let's remember Brother Alan Clayton. He has a procedure coming up Thursday in our prayers. And Miss Claudia Darby, she has a CT scan on Tuesday at Cobb. Remember her. Also received news, Miss Connie Teague, her nephew Dustin, he took a fall from a roof. I think he landed on concrete. Landing anywhere from a roof is terrible, but that's where the Teagues are at today. They're with their family. And making sure he's okay. Last I heard, he was stable, but in a lot of pain, as you can imagine. So just remember that situation. Remember everybody on our prayer list, of course. And, of course, please remember to pick up a bulletin. They're down front behind the organ, my right, your left, and in the foyer as well. Thank you to Miss Claudia for being our bulletin handing out person this morning. She has her name tag on and everything. And we appreciate you, Miss Claudia. She wants to make sure that everybody has a bulletin, because sometimes people say, where's the bulletin? Well, they're here, they're there, and also she gives them out. Also, they're on our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org. You can visit there for live streaming, but also a copy of the bulletin. And so we're trying to get the word out. Tonight, service will be downstairs. We'll be downstairs all summer long, and 5 o'clock. We're going to have, and I want to emphasize, a light snack and drink. It's not going to be a dinner and devotion every single Sunday night. That's a lot on all of us to get together. We definitely wouldn't be asking that But the church, we're going to take care of the light snack and drinks for tonight. Of course, there will be a devotion, so it's going to be a great time. And we're taking advantage of, this is actually a season of prayer. We're praying for a keyboardist right now, and so this will help lighten the load for us, the music department, on Sunday nights. We can go downstairs. Of course, we'll still have choir practice in the future, but this will lighten the load a little bit, and we'll have singing occasionally downstairs on Sunday night, but we'll definitely have a snack, devotion, and every last Sunday night of every month is more so dinner and devotion. I know I'm throwing a lot out there to you, but you catch my drift. Remember that. Also, remember this coming up Saturday at 11 to 1. CCC. You say, what's CCC? Carter's Cooperstown Car Wash. And this is to help raise money to get Carter to New York City, to Cooperstown, the Martin family. So he can, what opportunity this is. Please bring your car. We'll wash it, give a generous donation, $1,000 check, whatever you want to do, you know, it's totally acceptable, you know. Sure. Sure. Awesome. Amen. Carter's Cooperstown Car Wash Outreach. And so in any other C you want to throw in there, Carter's Cooperstown Car Wash Community Outreach, whatever. Remember that. Also remember on the 15th, on Saturday, this month will be our official outreach at 10 a.m. We'll reach the community. The community will go out and invite people to church. But we're also going to invite people to the Ivan Parker singing, who used to sing with the Gaithers. That'll be on the 22nd, Saturday at 4 o'clock. Opportunity came up. We took advantage of it. Kind of came suddenly, but we think this will be a great time to reach the community, advertise the Ivan Parker being with us, and, you know, just boost the attendance a little bit, maybe for Saturday, and maybe some of them will come back on Sunday. So remember that. And then remember, lastly, on the 30th will be our Youth Sunday. So very looking forward to that as well. All right. Well, did you come to worship this morning? Say amen. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Oh, God, we need you. Lord, we are so reminded each and every day of how frail our frame is. God, we can't do anything right. We are an unclean thing. We are gone astray. We go astray so easily. Lord, I pray today that you'll just arrest our hearts. Just for 1 hour, help us stay focused on you. The disciples fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says, what could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? 1 hour, Lord. 1 hour, God, we are devoting to you, God. We can certainly do that this morning. Help us be attentive, ears open, hearts open. And Father, I pray that you would touch the singing this morning. I pray that the gospel message would go out loud and strong. I pray we would worship you. And when it comes time to the preaching, God, you already know. I prayed 100 times already today, it feels like. I need your touch so your people can be touched through your word. We love you today. We pray for all these requests. We thank you for Brother James, Ms. Shirley, that's back, and for everything that you have done here at Calvary, the things you're doing now, and the things that you want to do in the future. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
And what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Won't you take a hymnal, church, choir, stand with me. Turn over to page 139, and let's sing that great song that says, At Calvary. Yes, sir. All right. All right. All right. At Calvary. All right, here we go now. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the last, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, please remember the service tonight at 5 o'clock downstairs. And please do make that a matter of prayer. We are searching and seeking for God's will for our next piano player to come around. And I know the Lord has a plan, and we just want to make sure that we make it a matter of prayer, and that we'll be in the right timing when the Lord would have us to meet that person. So if you will, just please join us in prayer for that. We'd surely appreciate it. We do need a pianist, and we're going to run poor Randy to death, but he has been so faithful down through the years to help everywhere, whenever it's needed, and we're thankful for him this morning. So you just make all of that a matter of prayer, and we'd sure appreciate it. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us today, you are our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Please do remember next Saturday. It'll be a great time. There's three more C's I'd like for you to remember, and I know they'd appreciate this. This is cash, check, or cash app. And I know that'd be helpful. That'd be great and helpful. So please just remember, it'd be a great time of outreach as well next Saturday as we get together here at Calvary. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, on the offering. Please pray for Pastor this morning and pray that the Lord would just arrest someone's heart, that we might be a little closer to him when we leave than when we came in. Father, we do love you. We praise you, Lord, and we do thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. And what a great opportunity it is to be able to come into your house and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the songs that we can sing, that we might uplift your precious name. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just bless the offering now, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed. Be with every prayer request that has been given this morning. I'm sure there are unspoken. Lord, if we were to search across the house this morning, everyone probably would have at least one prayer request. But Lord, you knew them all before they even came to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, supply the need that we might have. Again, be in the service this morning. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. We'll praise you. We'll worship you together now. In Jesus' name, amen.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. Promise he ever made me, I love him. That's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me?
I love him.
That's all I want to say. That's all I want to say.
Far too wide, but from the far side of
the chasm. You held me in your sight, so you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt out, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Thank you so much, Miss Shiloh. You have Vocalist of the Year right there at her school.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's give a round of applause for that. Appreciate her. Appreciate all that sing here at Calvary for using your gift, your talent for the Lord Jesus. And what a blessing. What a blessing. And like Brother Allen said a moment ago, we do appreciate all of our visitors this morning. If you are visiting with us here at Calvary, thank you so very much for coming And you are our special guest. And we do acknowledge your presence this morning. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 13 in just a moment. I do covet your prayers this morning. I'm dependent upon the Lord to be able to teach and preach. And he has something he does want to say. And so I don't want to get in the way of that. I want to be a help to you this morning. And so Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 13, just after we pray. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart, a settled spirit. Help me do what Peter said and gird up the loins of my mind. This is very important, Lord. We're not here to play church. We're not here to prop ourselves up or to be seen or heard. We're here to be the conduit by which Jesus can flow through to speak to hearts. So, Father, I pray that you would touch us in a mighty way. I pray that you would use your word, the living word of God this morning. I pray that you would save souls and encourage the saved. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Notice, if you would, the word wherefore in verse number 13 of Ephesians 6. He says, wherefore. Wherefore. Paul has just spoke about spiritual warfare in the past three verses. Notice verse number 10. I keep hearing a noise down here. Beeping. If y'all could take care of that, that'd be great. I get so easily distracted, and I got a message to preach this morning. Verse number 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is Paul speaking about spiritual warfare, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Because of the intensity of this spiritual battle that we're in, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in having done all to stand. I want to call your attention specifically to that last phrase in verse number 13, where he says, in having done all to stand. To stand. For a few moments this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, Taking a Stand. Taking a Stand. He says to take the whole armor of God upon you that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Taking a stand. I think it's time that we take a stand in our day, don't you? I think it's time that we take a stand in our faith this morning. Everyone sharing what they believe about everything, let us share what we believe about our faith. There's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. There is a purpose to be had. There is joy to experience. Everyone and everybody is sharing what they believe. I pick on the JWs a lot. Jehovah Witnesses, because they are active in what they do. I see them about once a week at the Grand's gas station, and they approach me, and I'm going to start doing this. The next time they approach me, I'm going to start going like this. No way. You come to me, you're going to get talked to. The Mormons, they're at Walmart constantly with the name tags, and They're matching outfits, and they are sharing what they believe. Of course, these are cults. You can go back and look at what they believe and the author of their cult and religion, and it's all cultish. And so they're saying what they believe. Let us say what we believe. Let us tell people that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Let us tell people that they do have a purpose on earth, that Jesus does love them. There is joy to experience. I think it's time that we take a stand for our faith this morning. I think it's time that we take a stand for our families this morning. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. I think it's time that dads take a stand on being dads. I think it's time that moms take a stand on being moms. I think kids must take a stand on being even a kid and obey your parents and excel in life. Even it's time to take a stand as a child or young person. Young person, it's time to take a stand. Make up your mind this summer who you are. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior if you have not. And when school time rolls around, you can run your Christian flag up and say, I identify with Jesus. It's time, young person, to take a stand. Take a stand to peer pressure. Don't allow friends to pressure you into drinking alcohol or taking drugs or premarital relationships. Take a stand against morality. Be holy as the Lord is holy. I think it's time that we take a stand in our family. I think it's time we take a stand in our faith. But also, I think it's time we take a stand when it comes to friends. When it comes to friends. You want friends this morning? Be friendly. Be friendly. He that hath friends must first show himself friendly. And when you have that friend and there's friction in the relationship sometime or another, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. The Bible talks about faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so sometimes friends will break your heart. Sometimes friends will do things you don't agree with. But work it out with your friends. Be friendly. Stand by your friends through the thick and the thin. Tell your friends the truth. Don't tell your friends what they want to hear. Tell your friends the truth. And that goes for all of us this morning, whether we're young or whether we're older. Whether we have lots of friends or just a few friends, let us be people who take a stand and tell the truth about the things of God and life. Let us tell people there are consequences in every decision that we make. We're seeing that in America. It's getting close to time to vote and all of those things taking place. And man, you got all these things on TV coming and we just see decisions and we see consequences. And listen, I'm not getting into politics this morning. But Donald Trump was found guilty on, I think, 32 counts of the alleged offense. I don't know about all of that. You know, I just don't know about all the politics and how that's going to play out. But I do think that it's time to take a stand so we don't fall if he fell in an area like that. And so that we can walk straight and so that we can walk in victory. But at the end of the day, it's time to take a stand for our friends. It's time to take a stand for our families. It's time to take a stand for our faith. It's time to take a stand in our finances. Let us tithe. Give unto the Lord what belongs to Him, the first fruits of all of your increase. Honor God with your money. Don't live above your means. So many people and their families are in bondage this morning, slave to the lender, and it's because they're spending above their means. And I'm not saying if you have a credit card, you pay a monthly bill, you're slave to the lender, you got a mortgage. Hey, we have a mortgage. But listen, you can't borrow your way out of debt. You can't live above your means. And you say, well, Brother Justin, I've never tithed. Well, why don't you try tithing and honor God with your first fruits? Just 10% and see what He can do with the other 90. We serve a God that can bless you financially when you bless Him with your first fruits. It's time to take a stand financially. It's time to take a stand amongst our friends and our family and our faith. But this morning, there's something particular I want to share about taking a stand in, and that is against evil or temptation. Notice again verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, in having done all to stand. We are up against this morning so much evil. The enemy is constantly trying to lead us away from the things of God. The enemy is trying to intimidate us from sharing our faith. The enemy is trying to put wedges in families that have been closely knitted together for years. He is trying to divide the home this morning. The enemy is turning husbands against wives, trying to turn wives against husbands, kids against parents, parents against kids. The enemy is doing all that he can to put a wedge in the home place. The enemy wants to sever friendships and relationships. He wants to cause conflict with no resolutions. The enemy doesn't want you to tithe. He wants you to spend money on what you deserve because you work so hard for it. The enemy wants you to drift from God and church, the Bible, and prayer. And there's a reason for this. Because God has so much good in store for you, the enemy doesn't want you to have it. He wants to entice you. He wants to lead you astray. He wants to present a temptation. He has a tailor-made evil day for you. And this morning it's time to recognize those things, and it's time to take a stand. So this morning I want to look at a few things about taking a stand against temptation. Again, here in Ephesians, in verse Ephesians 6, in verse number 11, the Bible mentions the wiles of the devil. In verse number 12, he mentions spiritual wickedness. In verse number 13, he mentions the evil day, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He talks about there's an evil day. And then in verse number 16, he talks about the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you tired of the devil rubbing your face in the mud? Are you tired of the devil speaking lies in your ears? You're not good enough. No one loves you. You can't do anything right. Are you tired of listening to that? Are you tired of wiping the mud from your face that the devil rubbed your head in? Are you tired of that? Well, it's time to take a stand this morning. You're not going to rub my face in the mud today, devil. It's time to take a stand this morning. I'm not going to listen to your lies. Devil, I am loved. I can do things right. I am not a victim. I am a victor. It's time to take a stand this morning when it comes to this area of temptation. And so I want to share with you three things about standing against temptation or taking a stand in the area of temptation. Number one, I want us to look at the definition of temptation. We're in Ephesians 6. Turn over to the right, if you would, to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. in verse number 13 and 14. The definition of temptation, James chapter number 1, verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. And you rest assured, you say, oh, I don't get tempted. Your day's coming. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. What is the definition of temptation? Well, I think that there's the word tempted and tempteth. These two verses, 13 and 14, is used five times. And so there's something big about this word. Tempted here in verse number 13, it means solicitation to do evil. It means to entice. And I want to say that God will never solicit you to do evil. He will never tempt you to do evil. He will never entice you to do evil. But the devil will. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed or provoked. It's kind of like the fish coming out of its retreat when it sees the bright, shiny fish swimming in the water. Oh, I got a big one. I'll be back fishing, guys. I'm the fish talking. Oh, I see a big one. And he bites it. Boom! He's hooked. Kind of like this. I'm still in my prop role, you know. So the fisherman's fishing. Don't worry, I got the hook taped. I'm not going to hook you, Harold. Not unless I have to. And so he's fishing. He's fishing. Like this. Got my line messed up. That's okay. That big bass comes out right there. He sees it. He thinks it's a real fish or a little minnow. Bam! Bam! He's got it. He's got it. Hook, line, and sinker. Oh, well, my line's messed up. Doesn't matter. You say, what's that got to do with me? There you go, Brother Allen. Why don't you just quit being choir director? You know, pianist is gone. Why don't you just give it up, brother? You served faithfully for all these years. Come on, come on. Brother Harold, why don't you just, don't you go for it. Why don't you just give it up? Come on, you know you're tired. Just stay at home. Watch on Facebook. It'll be all right. And then eventually you'll stop watching Facebook. Come on, come on. That's what the devil does. He tries to entice us. And he has a bait for each and every one of you. My bait may be different from your bait, but he has a bait. Let me just go through a few baits. At Justin's Tackle Shop. Got another pole over here in case anybody else wants to go fishing. But in this bait box, we have different baits. We have rubber worms and lizards. This some fish will eat, some fish won't. Anybody want a lizard? I love the way these things smell. I don't know, I'm just weird like that. And then there's these watermelon seed or watermelon worms, these get the big ones. They'll go after that one. All right, on the other hand, we have other baits. Let's move on from the worms. We have spinner baits, like my pole I got there. But then this right here, this is a topwater bait. You reel it in and it goes on top of the water. That bass will see it, think it's a mosquito or something, some kind of bug, horsefly. Wham! And it'll grab it. Certain kind of bait. All kinds of baits. I got little baits for little fish. I've got big baits with hook lines and sinkers for for catfish. My glasses about fell off. I'm getting so excited about my baits. I've got stink bait. You get the idea. I got all kinds of baits. And so today the devil, he has baits for you and your family. He has baits for you and your faith. The devil has a bait for everybody this morning. And one thing about it, it is not Jesus tempting you to sin. It is not Jesus telling you not to go to church. It is not Jesus. Listen, Jesus will never tell you to be silent about your faith. He will never tell you to be unfaithful or mean to your spouse. He will never tell you, kids, to rebel against your parents, be in unhealthy relationships. By the way, about relationships and unhealthy relationships, young people, middle-aged people, older people, if you are in the dating scene, know who you are dating. It is so important to know who you are dating, because you're supposed to be dating for a purpose, for potential marriage one day. And if they don't date good, they won't marry good. Amen? And so the Lord will never tell you to be in an unhealthy relationship. The Lord will never tell you to be unkind or unforgiving to a friend. The Lord will never tell you to not tithe. The Lord will never tell you to be unkind or unforgiving to a friend, not tithe, or to overspend your money. God will never tempt you to sin. But the devil will. The devil will. The devil will say, you know what? Won't you just go find another spouse? Come on. She's too much work. The devil will tell the woman, won't you go find another husband? He's too much work. He's too much work. God will never tell you to go find another husband. God will never tell you to go find another spouse. We believe in once married, always married. Of course, we know that divorce is a real thing in our world, and we understand that. We are not condoning that. We are not for that. I don't believe the Lord is for that. But it happens. It goes back to know who you're in a relationship with. And the devil will do his very best to allure you away from a relationship you should be in. And the devil will do his best to lure you in a relationship you shouldn't be in. The devil will try to get spouses to separate and find somebody better. And the devil, he will cause you and tempt you to be silent about your faith. He's all about soliciting us to do evil. Enticing us to do evil. God will never do that. God will never do that. So this morning we see the definition of temptation. Solicitation to do evil or to entice. God will never tempt you to sin, but the devil will. Now, back to Ephesians chapter number 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 6. Not only the definition of temptation, but the day of temptation. Notice what the scripture says in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. The words, the evil day, is a definite article. It's speaking of a certain day. Now, we know we live in evil days. But there are tailor-made, hand-picked days where the devil and his entourage says, I'm going after Hassan today. There are days where the devil and his entourage says, I'm going after Tim today down there at that shop. We live in evil days, but there is the evil day. It's a definite article. It's an emphatic statement. He's talking about making sure you take upon you the whole armor of God. Don't be hoodwinked. Don't think that you're above temptation. Pride comes before a fall, but take unto you the whole armor of God. Apply Jesus in your life so that you can be ready for that day. Sometimes, man, we have just an awesome service in here. We have awesome services all the time because Jesus is here. Like we wrote on the wall where two or three are gathered. There he is in the midst. But there are times where I'm like, whoa, man. God moved in those services. And I, you know, just eat a little bit of supper after evening service, drift off to sleep. Wake up on Monday and wham! Totally blindsided. My protection wall was down because of what happened Sunday. I thought I was going to be okay on Monday. No, there's no days off in the service of the Lord. There's no days off in living for Jesus. There is an evil day, and especially after a victory, be ready for Satan's assaults because they're coming. Again, verse 16 says there's fiery darts that he's throwing. He is throwing them darts, and he's wanting to hit everybody in the heart and in the mind. We see this morning we are living in evil days. Man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. The world is pushing their agenda into our living rooms, trying to define what's right and acceptable. We, as Christians, are waist deep in moral decay, trying to live with morals and godly values. But there is, in the midst of all these evil days, there is a handpicked, tailor-made day of evil for you and I. We have good days and not so good days, but then there's those days when you're doing all that you possibly can to keep on standing. There are those days when you're hit with every fiery dart of the wicked, And there's those thoughts that you won't make it. There's those days where you feel like life is just too much. There's the evil day where the tempter is telling you, you're going down, you're not going to rise again. There's those evil days where seemingly we believe when he tells us God has forgotten about us because of our circumstances. There's those days where we feel like we're just a terrible, unlovable person. There is an evil day for you. Don't believe these lies. Reject the nonsense. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak. No, 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 no. Take a stand. Take a stand. There's a day of temptation coming. You will make it. Life's not too much. You're not going down. God has not forgotten you. You're not terrible nor unlovable. Think about this for a moment. In the book of Job, chapter number 1. Turn to Job if you would, chapter number 1. There was a conversation between God and the devil. The devil was going to and fro, looking whom he may devour, and no one opposed him. So that tells me that he was making havoc, destroying lives, destroying homes, dusting off his hands, going to the next home, knocking on the door, getting in, wrecking and ruining lives. No one was opposing him. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, or mature man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? So number 1, Job had a hedge of protection around his life. Job went out every morning and made sacrifices for his family. And if we want to have a hedge of protection around our lives, we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to sacrifice unto the Lord. We just need to put Him first place. Give Him the front seat. So there was this hedge about Him and about His house and about all that He hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of His hands, and His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that He hath, and He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The devil says, go ahead, God, lower that hedge. Allow me to tempt Job, and he will curse you to your face. So what happened? There came a day. There came a day. Look what the next verse says. Verse 13. And there was a day. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. We won't go through all of these verses this morning. But we know that in a day, perhaps seconds in a day, if you read, these events happened simultaneously or one after another. He lost his servants. He lost his sheep. He lost his camels. For Christ's sake, he lost his children. He lost his children. And then on all top of all of that, his health started to dwindle. And his wife and her mind in a broken heart said, just curse God and die. The devil said that he's going to get Job to curse you, God. Or the devil said that he was going to get Job to curse God. And he tried to use the weakness of his wife. Listen, who wouldn't be weak in that moment? I'm not saying it's ever okay to say curse God and die. Don't say that. I couldn't imagine losing one child. I couldn't imagine losing, no comparison, please. I'm not comparing this. I'm just saying it. I can't imagine losing my dog. I'm being honest here. No comparison to a child, much less all your children. And then all your resources and your health. And Miss Job was faithfully standing by Mr. Job their whole life, worshiping God and honoring God, and yet everything was fine and sacrifices daily. But then there came a day when the devil came to Job's house. You say, Brother Justin, the devil hasn't messed with me in a while. Praise God, but at the same time, I would be worried if he didn't. Because you are no threat to the devil. We are not inviting the devil to our homes by no means. No, we are not. We're not saying, come on, devil, bring it on. We're no match for him. But when we serve God acceptably and God is using us, the devil will come to your home. When you're praying about something and you need God to do something in your life, you're praying about a loved one, the devil will come to your home. Hell, boy, they're never going to get saved. Hey, old boy, their marriage is never going to get right. Listen, there is an evil day. We are seeing this. Not mentioning no names, not saying anything, no reference to any particular person. But people in ministry are messing up. You hear about pastors and leaders and listen, whatever you think about Donald Trump, I don't know and I don't really care. What I'm saying is there is a decay taking place because we're not ready for the evil day. Oh, I've got this. I know God. I know the Bible. I know how to engage in prayer. Yeah, well, when was the last time you read the Bible if you know the Bible? When was the last time you prayed if you know how to pray? God, help us not be an island to ourselves. God, help us to be ready for this evil day. But in spite of everything that Job lost in the end, God gave him double for all his trouble. Amen. In the very end, God blessed Job. And so there is victory in the day of trouble. Why did God allow Satan to devastate Job? Why did God allow Satan to devastate Job? Number one, to make a point to Satan. He has a man. But number two, to make a point to Job that God is faithful. That God is faithful. That you can lose everything all the way down to the foundation and you're sitting on an ash heap that once was, and God could still be worshipped. In fact, verse number 20 of chapter 1, the Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle. Ah! He shaved his head. I'm not going to do that. Fell upon the ground. Oh, God. And worshiped. Oh, Lord. I don't know why you took everything I have. All I did was try to serve you in my lifetime. And God, you took everything I had. God, you giveth, you taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't understand it. It don't make sense to me. But I'm going to worship you, Lord. You said you're faithful. You said you're trustworthy. God, you've always provided. I'm going to worship you. And real worship is submission to the Word of God. That's real worship. We love singing. We love preaching. We love doing all of these things. That is a form of worship. But real worship is when it don't make sense. And you can't determine the outcome. And nothing's getting better, but yet the Bible says God is with me. And God is working all things together for good. That's real worship when you say, dear Lord, it don't make sense. I don't like what's going on. I don't agree with the circumstances, but you know what's best. And of course, you already know, church, easier preached than lived. But it must be preached. There, this week, is an evil day waiting for you. Be ready. Don't think you got it. I can't help to think about it. All of a sudden, thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's just the Goonies. Oh, what's his name? Chunk. They were down there trying to find that tunnel, trying to find One Eye Willie's ship with a treasure on it. They were at the bottom of the restaurant. He got excited over the ice cream, bumped the cooler. He goes, got it. Psh, don't got it. Some of us, oh, I got it. Oh, I got this. Oh, my word. What was I thinking? I never had it. Some of us are, got it. But don't end up, don't got it. We need to know that God's got it. And then we can have it. Evil day is coming for you. And God just wanted me to make warning of that this morning. There was a good ending for Job. God allowed Satan to devastate Job to make a point to Satan, but to make a point to Job that God is faithful. Be ready for your evil day. There is victory. Let me mention one more thing concerning taking a stand. And more specifically, against temptation. The definition of temptation. The day of temptation. But then number three, the duty of temptation. But I want to say this before I say that. There's other reasons why God allows Satan to tempt us. And that is the only way that he can is by God's approval. Because God does not tempt man to do evil. It is from the devil, and it comes from our wicked nature on the inside. Two other reasons why God allows Satan to tempt us. So the teacher can determine how much the student is learning in a particular subject. This is called a test. Okay, school's out for the summer, and the young people said, amen. And the parents said, oh, me. No, we're glad. We're glad school's out. We love you. Hey, listen, I'm so glad school's out. Last week, I did slip and slide. I did baseball, Six Flags, something else. I don't know. It was a lot of stuff. I'm glad Lily's out for school. I'm glad her friend Sharice is here. I'm glad, but it's, you know, we don't get our time anymore until we drop them off and pick them back up at 3:30. But that's okay. That's all right. But they've taken test after test after test. And those tests are given to determine, to show the teacher where they're at. Of course, God is omniscient. He knows all things. So it's not so much for him as it is us. So number two, it's so the students themselves can determine how much they've learned in a particular subject. And so there'll be times of testing to see how much we've learned. There'll be times of temptation. And there's different kinds, and we won't get into that this morning, but the devil won't, the Lord won't tempt us to do evil. The devil will, but it's only through the permission of God. So let me mention a third thing. The duty of temptation. Back in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. Verse 13, the duty of temptation. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The duty of temptation is to take a stand against it. Don't fall for it. Are you taking a stand against evil this morning? Are you taking a stand against temptation? Are you taking a stand against some things in your life? The Bible says, having done all. Have you done all you can? Is the question. Have I done all that I can to ensure that I'm still standing? Have we done all? The duty of temptation is to stand. Having done all, do all we can. Take upon us the whole armor of God. Include Him in the equation. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can't, but He can. How do I take a stand? I just told you by taking the whole armor of God. I just told you, verse 10, by being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's how you take a stand, is by leaning on God. It's recognizing your inability in God's ability. It's asking God for, listen, His super on your natural. It's yielding, trusting, obeying. It's struggling, it's wrestling, it's repenting. It's finding your way through the woods of this world by His grace, love, and mercy. The duty of temptation is simply this: involving Jesus. Involving Jesus. It doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It doesn't even mean you're not going to fumble. But what it does mean is you are preparing for the test. You are maturing. You are growing. You are living life. You are learning. You are learning. Taking a stand, more specifically, against temptation. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You. We've done our very best. I pray that You'll give liberty during this time of invitation. If there should be anyone that needs to come, let there be liberty for that. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning, would you come on the first verse? Come and pray. Tell it to Jesus. If you need to be saved, we'll meet you here and talk with you about that.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine
anybody
own
this morning?
Way.
anybody at all need to come pray.
And I am
resist the bait. Spray on some bait repellent.
So you won't take it.
The Lord can help this morning. Feel free to come if you need to come this morning. We all need the Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me.
I hear when they're deer hunting,
Master,
there's a spray you can spray on yourself so the deer can't smell you. Come to Jesus this morning and ask Him to spray you with the Holy Spirit so the devil can't smell you. Just come if you need to come. Are you saved this morning? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? You can know today. You can know. Meet me in the altar and we will talk about it. Whatever the case may be. Anybody else this morning?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Be prepared for that evil day.
And we
don't live in fear. Don't be full of anxiety.
Help me.
Just use your spiritual peripheral vision.
Power,
spiritual peripheral vision.
Surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Save.
Okay, we're going to change the service at this time. Keep playing and singing as you like. I want to open up the doors of Calvary. If you feel like Calvary Baptist Church is where God is leading you and your family to join, I want to ask you to come forward if you feel that way. And let's make it official. Anybody else? We'd love to have you. Want to tie the knot. Yeah. The Lord today, we have coming to us by transfer of letter from Macklin Baptist Church down the road, Frank and Vicki Johnson. All in favor, receive them. Clap your hands. Say amen. Woo! Yeah. You know what that is? That's the devil. That's the devil. Take that, devil. And we love them. They have jumped right in, been coming. I talked to them last Sunday night in particular for a short time. And this is where they want to be. They feel God leading them here. And so we're so glad to have them. And what a blessing. What a blessing. We'll probably take your picture soon. And Brother Jeff, he's in Children's Church. And then we'll have it up for everybody to see. But all right. So very thankful for this moment. Remember this evening service at 5 o'clock. And light snacks. You know, and then I got something I want to share tonight. We're going to look at tonight. We did a biblical numerology study a few years ago, and so we're probably going to look at two numbers tonight. I'm interested in the number 16. I have a 16-year-old, and the number 17. So she's about to be 17, but it's not. You know, don't think I'm talking about Lily tonight. You know. But anyway, there's something there. I promise you that. And so we're going to mention, and the number 16 means love, number 17 means victory. So tonight we're going to talk about love and victory. All right? Okay, well, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Please come forward and give the right handshake of fellowship to our newest church members, if you would. Brother Ceylon, would you close us out in a word of prayer? Yes, Lord. I won't get too close. I'm sloppy, sweaty. But God bless y'all so much. So happy to have y'all. Welcome home.